This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Okay, this is Richard Jacobs. Today I'm talking with Dan Rubens, co-founder of Legal Robot. Dan, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. It's going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and how your firm is using it in the legal field. So can you give a quick background on, you know, what it is Legal Robot does and what areas of the legal industry it works in?
Sure. So at a high level, we analyze contracts with machine learning. We try to make them more understandable and help free companies from some of the friction that, contracts cause in, their legal processes.
So, okay, are you using natural language processing to interpret what's in a contract? Is that how it works?
Yeah, we use natural language processing and some other forms of machine learning. There's one sort of specific field of machine learning called deep learning, and we use that to sort of understand how people use legal language in practice, and then use that to understand how it's being used in the particular target document.
Can you give me an example of, you know, maybe a couple legal terms that are pretty common that your AI system can understand now, the meaning of?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't think of them as individual legal terms. We really look at the entire sentence, the entire paragraph in context of the whole document. So we can throw out a word like indemnification. And we see that a lot in contracts, naturally. But the meaning of that really changes based on the words around it. So we really like to look at, the entire context that that word is used in. So that might be a trigger word for a lawyer that's reading a contract. They want to look at that section in particular and, look for something. But we really try to look at the entire sentence and the way that's being used.
So, okay, so a document will be analyzed, and then what's next? An attorney will be given the analysis of the documents along with the original, or what's the process?
So sometimes we work with attorneys, but we've actually found that, usually we're working directly with people in the business. So we're working with a head of sales or with the salesperson themselves, or we're working with someone in HR. So these are all sort of the end users of law, and I think what's kind of funny is that lawyers, and by the way, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a machine learning guy myself.
Okay.
But I think lawyers sometimes tend to forget that the end users of law actually aren't lawyers. You know, lawyers are sort of the mechanics of law. They fix problems, and that's great, and they're very necessary in that, but they're not really the end users of law. Those are the people that are actually operating businesses. They're individuals that are trying to resolve a legal issue. So we really are making our product for the end users of law and trying to make law more friendly for them.
That makes sense. So as an end user, let's say I'm going to rent a commercial building and, you know, I get an agreement from the landlord's attorney. And it's like a 30-page nightmare and my eyes are crossing. What will Legal Robot do for me in that example? What will I get from it as an output? Will it translate the gobbledygook into English, or what will it do?
So you'll get a few different things. For one thing, you'll get a sort of a one-page summary of the document, something that just helps you understand the key terms in that document, understand the sort of the point of the document. It's basically like automatically generating a term sheet. Now, we also pair that with some deeper level analysis. If you're trying to proofread the document, if it hasn't been executed yet and there's still time for some changes, we'll actually help you spot legal issues in there. So maybe you used a definition wrong, or maybe there's some other sort of problem in there. Maybe you really probably should put something like reasonable efforts instead of best efforts. Maybe that's sort of standard for the type of agreement. So we'll look for those sorts of errors, and we'll provide some statistics on how often certain terms are used in that type of agreement, And you can make your own decision if you want to go ahead and negotiate on that point. We won't necessarily tell you either way, but we'll give you some more data to sort of inform that decision.
So it sounds like for a particular agreement, you've had to have trained your system on similar agreements in the same niche or genre of agreement, right?
Right. Yeah. So we've trained very generally on legal language and how people use legal language. That was a very large data set that we trained on. And then we've also trained on specific legal agreements that you might have more targeted questions about. So if you if you're looking at, for example, a stock purchase agreement or, like you said, a commercial lease or something like that, those are something that are very well represented in public data sources. So that's something that we have trained on. Other data sets, you know, if we don't have a particular type of contract that we've seen a lot, maybe you're in a niche industry, you can actually go and train your own algorithms on it through our web interface.
I mean, are you saying you have an API where you can take your AI system and train it on my data, for instance?
Yeah, and you can actually do that yourself without any coding. So let's say, you know, you work in, I don't know, oil and gas, and you have some really specific type of agreement that you're looking for, and we haven't trained on it yet. Right out of the box, you'll get some use out of our product. We understand generally how people use legal language, but if there's something really specific, you can train your own classifiers, your own algorithms, and you can run those on your own checks on documents that come through the door.
So okay, so the result, again, let's say it's a commercial lease. So I'll get a one-page summary of what the lease is about in plain English.
Mm-hmm.
Will the system also point out, hey, this provision right here is not customary? You know, only in 3% of leases reviewed that we have seen this term, or like, what else will you get out of it that's useful, and how would I use it?
Yeah, so we do a number of things. We'll apply things like Ken Adams' manual of style for contract drafting to find errors. But yeah, we'll also do that kind of statistical analysis that says, you know, look, in this type of document, which we've reviewed a statistically significant number of these documents, we don't really see this clause a lot. Let's say you're looking at an NDA, and for some reason someone copied and pasted something and they got a royalty clause in there. You're like, as a lawyer, you're going to review that and you're going to be like, what's this doing in here? Get this out of here. This is just clearly an error.
Right.
But, you know, a non-professional that's reading that might not spot that. So we'll help you spot that. And then we'll also go a little deeper. We'll actually help you sort of identify areas of ambiguity. Sometimes that's strategic ambiguity. Sometimes it's not intentional. And, you know, it's just sort of the way the document's structured that can result in significant changes in meaning.
So, all right, so if I use Legal Robot on a contract, do you still recommend I get an attorney to review it and your analysis? Are you even able to make a recommendation like that? Or?
Yeah, we definitely think that people still need, I mean, you know, attorneys aren't going anywhere. This is definitely not going to put any attorneys out of business. This is still part of a proper legal analysis. We just think this is for individuals. This is something that can help them have a more meaningful and productive conversation with their attorney. And when we're thinking about use in a more corporate environment, this is something that allows the lines of business, the people that are actually operating and working with these contracts, it lets them sort of have a pre-check before a legal department review. They sort of know, okay, this is going to get through legal. None of the sort of stupid errors that I usually send to legal, they're not going to get flagged in here. Or I just need to go and fix this one thing to become compliant with my, you know, in-house legal guidelines or something like that. So those are sort of the use cases we're working with, both on the consumer side, where it's sort of a pre-check or a prima facie review for those lawyers out there. And then on the corporate side, it's again, something to make sure that you're compliant with in-house standards.
Okay. What about, are any of your clients attorneys or firms themselves? What about a firm that has to review thousands of contracts or, you know, high volume stuff? Do you have a use case for law firms themselves?
Yeah, we definitely do have law firms that are interested. Quite a few law firms have signed up for our early beta. We've actually got 8 of the top 10 global law firms signed up for our early beta. And I think a lot of them are interested in it for sort of due diligence and large-scale document review use cases. How that ends up playing out in the market, we'll see. Honestly, they're not our primary client. You know, we'd really rather sell to the in-house legal department and the lines of business. Selling to law firms is notoriously difficult, and you know, we find that a lot of them are already adopting technology that is quite helpful. So they may not have as big of a need for it. If you're in a large law firm and you're sort of using associate time to do large-scale document review, you're not really using your associates well. So a lot of them in recent years have sort of made advances and investments in their own technology for this.
Oh, technology that uses AI or just technology that uses, you know, character recognition and just mass scanning into a database?
Sort of the basic level of sort of document understanding and natural language processing. There are a lot of good sort of e-discovery tools that can be adapted to this purpose. So we don't really see a huge market there, honestly.
Okay, so you see the big market in the end user, the person that, again, wants to rent a commercial property or is negotiating an NDA or other agreement with a company, that kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah. It's you know, going back to the sort of car example, it's the end user of a car is the driver. It's all of us. You know, we all need to drive a car to get to work.
Yep.
So that's really our end user, not the mechanic. So we'd really much prefer to service all of the end users in the world rather than just the mechanics.
What about it seems like a big imbalance of power, you know, especially with the terms of use on so many things, you know, web related. Could this be used as a tool for people to apply when faced suddenly with a 30-page terms of use document to help them find quickly, are there any landmines if I agree to this?
Do you see that? Yeah, well, actually, just before this, I just got an email from Uber. And they had just updated their terms of service like half an hour ago or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I want to read their summary of what they've changed, but I'm kind of curious, what did they really change? What are they kind of trying to slip in there that's maybe trying to fly under the radar? Mm-hmm. So they mentioned some changes to their arbitration procedures. Turns out those changes might not be totally in the consumer's favor, as you would expect. So it's kind of interesting. We do see some things like that, and we can pretty quickly analyze changes to those major terms and privacy policies. So we're actually going to make a lot of those public, changes to major services like Apple and Google and Uber and, you know, sort of the big companies that tend to make a lot of news. We're actually going to make those changes public.
Oh, really? So you're going to, okay, so you're going to analyze them yourself and you're going to make them public.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. Some of the mechanics of what you do, what do you use programming languages? If so, what do you use? I mean, how is a piece of code do what your program does? How does it analyze a document or multiple documents and find concepts or, you know, understand them, like, you know, for the layperson, how does this
mm-hmm. work? So if you think of sort of the traditional way of programming a computer, you're writing out rules and you're writing out the logic of particular rules, and you compose them into functions and, you know, higher and higher level objects. And that's certainly one way to write a program. But I think what's changed in the sort of computer science world in the last few years, and what's made this possible, is we're now evaluating the source document rather than passing it through a whole big set of handwritten rules. What we're doing is we're looking at the internal relationships in that document. So the way we start is we actually build what's called a co-occurrence matrix, or we count how many times a word shows up alongside every other word. And so that's a lot of computational work to do that, which is why we've only been able to do it recently. But we start out and we build that co-occurrence matrix. That basically gets changed into a long set of numbers that represents a single word or a single sentence. So we now have basically a set of numbers that represents an indemnification clause. But we can pass that long string of numbers, we can pass that through a bunch of sort of old style statistical algorithms, and we can analyze the relationships between that set of numbers and other sets of numbers. So we can see how close that indemnification clause is as represented by those numbers. We can see how close that is to other indemnification clauses. And we can say, okay, well, it's this far apart. And we can measure that distance. So that's something that's really interesting that's become possible in the last, I'd say, 5 years, that has enabled our technology.
All right, so you're looking for occurrence of certain words in the same sentence or not. Okay, so that's one fact. What else? I mean, you know, obviously you disclose as much as you can, as much as you want, but what else goes into making your program work besides the you know, the frequency of certain words appearing together? How does it understand a concept, or does it even do that? What, you know, how does it work?
Yeah, so what we do is we take those long strings of numbers and we build what's called the classifier on top of it. And when we build enough classifiers, we get to the point where we can understand what legal concepts are being used in a particular sentence or in a particular paragraph. And we actually fit that to an ontology. So if you remember back to, like, you know, legal theory and drawing out the different sorts of exchanges in a contract, you can actually draw those out between two parties. If you have a circle on one side that's party A and a circle on the other side that's party B, you draw a line between them. That's an exchange. So we'll actually build out each of those components using a classifier. And we've built a lot of those, actually a whole lot of those. So we're actually able to model a contract in that way. We're able to sort of draw out all the different lines and concepts of that contract. So we call it a conceptual graph of the contract.
Okay.
And then we compare that conceptual graph to other contracts.
Okay, so it sounds like you're defining the universe of all the contractual exchanges or elements that are possible, and then your system is looking for when any one of those elements occurs in an agreement that it's reviewing.
Right. Yeah. So we can look at an agreement and say it's got, you know, 100 different exchanges in the agreement or 12 different exchanges in the agreement. And we can look at the nature of those exchanges and how they transfer between different parties and different characteristics they may have. And that provides us really rich information that we can then display to the user of the software. So that's sort of how the complicated stuff behind the scenes gets made. But on the surface, what happens is you upload a document, and within a few seconds, you get this very rich summary of the legal language inside and what's really happening with the legal language inside of it. And it's a much more visual way to work with legal language than most people are used to. I mean, you could flip through all 60 pages of that contract, but if you can also look in there and on one screen find the one particular section that you care about, that's a sort of much more efficient review of that contract.
Yeah, it makes sense. I've seen, you know, out there on the web, Google has a natural language processing API. Watson from IBM has one. Did you guys have to build your own from scratch, or are you piggybacking on those? You know, how good is yours versus theirs?
Yeah, so we started out, you know, kind of with some hubris, thinking, okay, we can get this thing to market real quick if we just use some off-the-shelf tools. There's some really great natural language tools out there, and the field has just been taking leaps and bounds in recent years. But what we found out pretty quickly is that a lot of them are trained on sort of traditional prose. So they're trained on normal sentences. And there's really nothing natural about legal language. So we really couldn't use those off-the-shelf tools. We had to build our own. So we started out trying to use those, and we tried Watson, and we tried the Stanford Core NLP toolkit, and we tried some other tools that are sort of well known. And you know, they provided some insight, to be sure, but they really didn't give us the kind of level of accuracy that we were looking for on legal sentences. And the reason is that legal sentences are just so much longer. They have these, what's called a long-range dependency problem, where you have, you know, a sentence that might be 15 words in normal text, and in legal text, it ends up being something that's 40 or 50 words long, and a single sentence. So it's a really different kind of problem. The nice thing is we get a lot more hierarchy in legal language, so we can actually exploit that hierarchy in unique ways. So we ended up doing our own algorithms, but it ended up being something really good for us as far as accuracy.
Right. So where are you at with your product? Is it available to the public, and for what types of agreements, or is it still at beta, or where are you in the process?
So it's not available to the public yet. We are working with six companies that are sort of in the beta, private beta stage right now. And we're really trying to get a sense of how they use it from day to day in their business before we actually launch it publicly. This is something where, you know, people are going to be depending on this for understanding legal language. They're going to be making real business decisions off of this. So we want to be sure that this is something really solid, and we also need to be sure that it's incredibly secure. So we're only working with a small set of customers at this point, just to make sure that it's that we get everything right early on. So we haven't launched it publicly yet, but in just a couple weeks, we're actually going to be launching a small product that uses just a part of it to do some legal automation work.
What's that going to be?
So just recently, the U.S. Copyright Office kind of screwed up the entire Digital Millennium Copyright Act safe harbor for everyone. So they decided to wipe out everyone's safe harbor rights and sort of replace them with a new online registry, which is good in a way, but there's going to be this scramble over the next year to re-register for safe harbor for any website based in the U.S. That hosts user-created content. So we're actually providing a product that's going to launch in a couple weeks that automates that process for website owners. So they may not be legal professionals. They may not be people that are super technical and familiar with this, but we want to give them this really important legal protection with a minimum amount of effort. So we've provided essentially a DMCA safe harbor bot that will go ahead and do the registrations for them and keep them up to date.
It sounds like your tool could also be help people with compliance. Let's say crafting a compliant terms of service policy, privacy policy, those kinds of things. I mean, I would guess that multiple pieces of legislation need to be addressed in one of those. Do you see a use case for the product like that?
Yeah, we do. And there's actually some other folks that are out there in the legal tech industry doing some interesting things with that. Naturally, on the large scale, there's products like Contracts Express that are quite useful. And there are also tools like iUbenda. So those things are interesting and certainly useful, but we're trying to stay away from automatically generating legal language because that gets much more into the realm of actual legal practice. When you're generating a particular document for someone, it might straddle the line between sort of providing them, you know, something that they're going to use and actually, I guess, really depend on as a legal document.
Right. So where do you see your biggest opportunity in the next, you know, 1 to 3 years?
So I think you nailed it with the compliance and sort of the automation there. Really, the way we think of a product right now with the contract analytics, this is our starter product. We're actually eventually moving more into the compliance space as we develop this product more. And it's really compliance with contracts and the sort of automation of that compliance. I think that's where we're headed as a company. As far as the overall industry, I think there's going to be more of a push towards smaller units of work. So when we hire a lawyer, we typically go through a service called UpCounsel that is sort of, we think of it as the Uber for legal services. So we go to them and we hire a partner level attorney for a fraction of the cost and we get fixed fee. And so I think you're going to have a lot of small businesses going towards that kind of a model because it fits with their consumption model, right?
Okay. The nature of AI and machine learning seems to be, you know, endless improvements on a pretty exponential or fast scale. Do you see that happening with your products? I mean, how good, quote unquote, will they get, and what will it mean when they become, you know, better than humans or exceptional? What do you see is happening with your products?
You know, I think, you know, there's always this question about at what point we will reach human level intelligence with a particular product. And I think that's really sort of asking the wrong question and sort of looking at that in the wrong way. Computers are already much better than humans in a lot of ways. They're certainly much faster. So if you're trying to review 10,000 documents, you can do that in a few minutes with a computer, with you know, some AI. So I really think that kind of question is interesting, but I'd really think of it more in what sorts of things do humans do today that will no longer need to be done. So if we think of, filing a brief or something, you know, the human's probably going to come up with the legal concepts in that. And, you know, whether they actually write the whole document or not, I think that'll change. I think enforcing compliance will change. As far as the sort of creative aspects, I think we're a ways away from computers managing the creative aspects of sort of intelligence for quite a while.
Okay. And last question. So to get some use out of this interview, this podcast, who would make a good client for you at this stage? Is it an individual or a company or a law firm? And how can they get in contact with you?
So the bulk of our interest right now is acquiring customers at large companies. These are typically heads of sales or heads of HR, heads of procurement, that are having problems with their in-house legal team, or it's the in-house legal team that's really feeling the pain of inefficiency in their own department. So those are our ideal customers right now, and they can get in touch with us through our website, legalrobot.com, or just drop us a line at hello@legalrobot.com.
Okay. Well, this has been really great, very informative, very interesting. I think the work you're doing is really fascinating. It's going to have a lot of implications, and I'm glad it's more, in the contract side and then seemingly the consumer side as well. So thanks for taking the time to interview. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594. Or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.